It's been 2 weeks since we've come out with an episode, and a lot has happened in the WWE landscape. So let's get after it. This is Freebird Rules.
Yeah. Let's go. We just gotta go hard. I go the hardest. I bring the pain. Not what you used to. It's all part of the game. Yeah, I just gotta go hard. I just gotta go hard. Go hard. Go hard. Yeah. Oh yeah, the beast back. Adrenaline pumping through my veins. Can't relax. Original. I am not the same as the
Welcome back to Freebird Rules, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freights. I hope that this finds you well, and I want to thank you for not only tuning into this episode, but for your support last episode. It was the first one, and it was a pretty good turnout. I'm very new at this whole wrestling podcasting thing, and I realize that for a lot of people, that maybe you don't know why you should be trusting me in this space. And I'm hopeful that I can actually provide you with reasons to. And the reason why is because I think that wrestling is such a subjective thing that we're watching. I feel like whenever you're watching wrestling, you are watching it from your own perspective, and everybody views it differently. And one of the things that I have noticed out there is that there are a lot of people who just want to hate on whatever product that it is. They either want to hate on the fact that it's not AEW, they want to hate on the fact that it is AEW, and I feel like we have gotten to this space now where we just cannot enjoy the product. We cannot enjoy what makes wrestling so great. And one of the things that has been amazing to me over the last year, maybe even 18 months, is that WWE, in my opinion, has done a fantastic job of storytelling. And they've done a great job of character building. And they have made me, and I know a lot of people by extension, a lot more invested in the product. And that's a good thing. We need that in WWE. For a long time, it felt like Vince McMahon was running the company into the ground. It felt like we could not get good storylines. It felt like we could not get consistent storytelling. And now it feels like we can trust in Triple H. We can trust in creative. And that's a really, really good thing. And so I want to talk about some of the big stories that have happened over the last 2 weeks. So as we are recording this, I believe there have been 2 SmackDowns and 2 Raws now, and a lot has happened. So I think the biggest story, in my opinion, is that Rhea Ripley had to vacate the women's title on Raw this past Monday as we're recording this. And it was a moment that I felt really bad for her. I felt like this is something that she has worked so hard for. She got her big moment winning at WrestleMania 39, retaining at WrestleMania 40 against Becky Lynch. And something that I was remiss in not talking about last week was the hot angle of Liv Morgan coming out and hitting her with a chair. Ironically, that's not what got her injured. What got her injured is Liv Morgan during the scrum throwing her into a wall, and I believe she ruptured something in her shoulder. Now, she came out, there were a lot of rumors, and she gracefully cut a great promo about how she will be back and she will be coming after the woman who made her have to vacate this title. And in the short term, this stinks because Rhea Ripley was a great champion. In my opinion, she was the heart of Raw. But I think this is great because I think this provides the opportunity for there to be an elevation of other women. I think it provides the opportunity for other women to elevate, but also for Rhea Ripley herself to elevate, because I think that there is a lot of money in the comeback story. And I think that as a heel, somebody was going to take her down. But I think now when she comes back, when you see the writing on the wall that we're going to get to in a minute, it feels like she's going to come back as a major star, as a major face in this company. And whoever she takes down, I think it's going to be a great story. She's going to come back stronger than ever. And I know she's going to come back motivated. And I think that in my opinion, that's a great thing for the company. Now, Liv Morgan got a ton of heat when she came out to try and she basically taunted the fact that she injured her. And obviously, this is all in storyline, all in kayfabe. But I think it was awesome because it adds a depth to Liv's character. I'll be honest with you, I thought she had a great moveset. She was a character that I kind of liked, but as a face, she didn't do anything for me from an emotional perspective. And I think that that's something that you have to have nowadays, is your average viewer needs a reason to tune into somebody. And I think Liv Morgan now, as a heel on this revenge tour, is going to be extremely compelling. And so obviously they had to answer the question of who was going to be the next champion. Now, one thing that I've noticed in this Triple H era, they're calling it the Renaissance era, is that a lot of multi-team, multi-person matches to either decide who's going to contend for a title or, in this case, who is actually going to get the title. And so they had a battle royal. And I'll be honest, unless it's the Royal Rumble, very rarely do battle royals actually make me feel great. I feel like they have a lot of opportunity for clunkiness, and I think that this match was no different. And Becky Lynch ended up eliminating Liv Morgan to become the women's champion, and I believe this is her seventh reign now. And on the surface, a lot of people feel like, oh, that's so lazy, that's so boring. I don't think so, though. I think that if you're going to have to vacate the title and you're going to be put in this position where you're going to have to move on the fly here, I think Becky is the perfect person to actually get this title. And I think she knows that she's going to be a transitional champion. She's great in the ring. She's great on the mic. There's going to be a lot of great stories. And I think that whoever takes her down, and I feel like it's going to be Liv Morgan at some point, is going to be elevated. And I think there's a lot of possibilities with Becky there as a transitional champion. And there's a lot of storytelling that you can do with a lot of women on the roster. And so I think that even though people thought it was lazy, people thought it maybe was an easy decision, I think it was the right decision for the moment, given the crappy place that they are in. Now that leads to the whole Judgment Day thing. And with Rhea Ripley on the shelf, she was the obvious leader, not just in storyline, but I think in just the way that the crowd responded to her. You had to ask yourself, what does it mean for the Judgment Day? Damian Priest is now the World Heavyweight Champion after cashing in at WrestleMania. Finn Balor has wanted that title. And there's a lot of dissension that they have been percolating under the surface, with Damian Priest seemingly like he is separating himself from this group by saying things like, I don't need you, you need me. And with Rhea not there, there being dissension among the ranks. And I think that now is a time to break this group up or at least reform it in some way. And I think that Damian Priest is in this position where he can have a really nice babyface run as the World Heavyweight Champion. And I think eventually when Seth Rollins comes back, you could actually have a feud with them, because I think that they are both in that in-between space right now. But I think Damian Priest is really set for a break from the Judgment Day. And who knows what will happen to the Judgment Day, especially when Rhea comes back. And that's what I mean. If she can come back and either try to get that regroup that group, or she can come back and realize that she's better than this group and become a face again. And I think that the Judgment Day has done a lot of good for the people that are in it. And I'm excited to see what this next chapter looks like. And I think it's going to lead to a couple of breakups. And I think that they're certainly sowing the seeds there. I can see a backstabbing. I can see a nice feud with Finn Balor over the World Heavyweight Championship. The thing that stinks about that, though, is that Finn Balor should have been the Universal Champion. He had to vacate it. Never really got a chance. And I think that that's something to look out for, as Finn Balor is fixing, basically, to re-sign with this company. And it seems like he's going to be around for a while, at least end his career with WWE. Something to watch for. The other hot storyline is the Bloodline. Now, the Bloodline obviously licking their wounds after WrestleMania. Roman Reigns losing after a 1,300-plus day reign as Universal Champion. Obviously, the Bloodline rules didn't work out very well. And so you kind of wondered, knowing in storyline and also in reality, that Roman Reigns was going to take some time off. That's been his modus operandi since he became champion, and he's earned that right. So what was going to happen to the Bloodline? And we kind of got our answer very affirmatively that Solo Sikoa is going to be stepping up, and this is the next layer of that story. I think a lot of people wondered if the Bloodline would be done, but I think that in this age of long-term storytelling, you have to understand that there are going to be layers, and I think Triple H knows exactly what he is doing in getting this story to a fever pitch. WrestleMania was not the fever pitch. That was just the ending of a chapter. I think there's a lot more stories to tell over the next year. And so Solo Sikoa stepping up seemingly like he's going to be the new tribal chief, or at least acting like the new tribal chief. Paul Heyman sold it like a champ. And we get the debut of Tama Tonga. Now, Tama Tonga is in his 40s, but he is new to the WWE product. I believe he's the son of Haku. Comes in, takes out Jimmy Uso in what was a hot segment. It was a great storyline segment, and I think that it worked in a lot of ways. It leaves you with a lot of feuds. I think Tama Tonga feuding with Jimmy Uso, or Jimmy Uso feuding with Solo Sikoa, Solo Sikoa, if he's going to be acting this way, is going to have to get some wins under his belt. And that's something that he didn't get a lot of as the street champion in the Bloodline story up until this point. And I think that's something to watch out for. They followed that up with another great segment where Solo, actually on the mic, getting tons and tons of heat. You could see him mouthing, "Oh, you want him now," when the crowd was chanting, "We want Roman." I think the crowd knows that Roman's going to come back a different person, a different character. But Tama Tonga, once again, doing the dirty work of the theoretical new tribal chief in Solo Sikoa, bloodying Kevin Owens. That was a great segment. Kevin Owens is the perfect person for that. So I think there's a lot of stories that they're going to tell here. But the one thing that we don't know is who is actually calling these shots. I know that in reality, Roman Reigns has a lot of creative input into what happens with the Bloodline story, even if he's not actually in the company right now wrestling. He's not a part of this story. You know that The Rock is going to come back. You know that they're sowing the seeds for The Rock versus Cody Rhodes down the line. And so there's a lot of intrigue here. I love what they're doing. I think that what they did was terrific. And I think Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga have done so much without actually saying a whole lot. Tama Tonga hasn't really said anything. I think that's terrific. The nonverbals, the facial expressions, the eyes, it does so much. And I just absolutely love it. And I think we're going to get a lot of great storytelling over the next year. And that's something that we should just be living in the moment on, because it wasn't a guarantee under Vince, and it is under Triple H. The other hot angle, which Chad Gable turning heel on Sami Zayn, I talked about that last time. I said that was inevitable, and it happened. It was a great, great segment. Sami Zayn beating him for the Intercontinental Championship and just snapping in front of his home fans in Montreal. The beatdown was just brutal. I loved every moment of it. And then, of course, when there's a hot segment like that, you need to follow it up with a good promo, and you need some motive. And that's something that was inconsistent with WWE for a long time, is the follow-up. What happens as we get further along in the story? And the first promo from Chad Gable was absolute fire, where he had the Alpha Academy out there. I think it was telling that he had a suit on and nobody else did, basically berating them. They are laying the groundwork for Chad Gable to get new people in a new stable. It's obvious. And Chad Gable, I think his motivation is correct. He should have been the one to beat Gunther. He should have been the one given the opportunity. And yes, he's a heel, so it's misguided in some way. And he lost. He lost his opportunities in the ring. There's no denying that. But in his mind, he should have had it, and he should have been given the opportunity, and he wasn't. And I can understand that to an extent. And this is a good foil for Sami Zayn. Although, again, Sami Zayn, I don't think, is losing this title. And I do believe that Chad Gable with an Intercontinental Championship run would be a lot of fun. How they get there could actually be okay for Sami. I'm not saying Sami is a transitional champion. I think the moment was when he beat Gunther. I don't know how much Sami will carry the Intercontinental Championship. And I do think that if Sami loses because a new faction comes out and screws him out of the title, I think that saves him a little bit. But Chad Gable has so much potential as a heel. Like I said last time, he's got some Kurt Angle in him, but I think there's more than that. He's awesome in the ring. I think he's got a great comedy heel routine, but I think this is a very serious routine. And I think this is where we're going to see Chad Gable spread his wings a little bit, be a serious heel, and not be a joke. And that's something I think really is looking, that's something I think that we should really look forward to, because again, it's a new element to another character that we've seen for a very long time. Layering. This is very, very important as we go along. So what about Cody Rhodes? Because Cody Rhodes obviously finishes the story, and that's a great moment. No denying that. But where do they go from here with Cody Rhodes? And this is something that I've kind of worried about, because I like Cody. There's no denying that. I think that Cody is a great story. I think he's great in the ring. But as I said, he's a little bit too pure of a babyface for me. So I'll be very interested to see what they do with him and who is his first challenger. And they got there by, again, a multi-person match pitting AJ Styles against LA Knight in the end after all was said and done. And LA Knight and AJ Styles rekindling their rivalry from WrestleMania. It was a good rematch, if not just good. It wasn't spectacular. But heading into this match, I thought there's no way that LA Knight is going to win this, because it would be very, very odd for a fan favorite in LA Knight to go up against Cody Rhodes right away, because I think your logical fan, your smart fan knows that Cody Rhodes is going to retain the title unless he gets hurt. So you have to have a heel. AJ Styles makes a lot of sense. AJ has talked a lot in the news about how he's nearing the end. He's probably in the twilight of his career. He's had a spectacular career. There's no denying that whatsoever. One of the best workers of all time. His WWE run actually was pretty great. A couple of really great title runs. The Boneyard match against The Undertaker, that was a classic in my opinion, even though it was during the pandemic, even though it was pre-taped. I think it was amazing. And AJ Styles is a great guy. AJ Styles is a great heel. And I think this incarnation of him, bigger, faster, stronger, I think is a great foil for Cody Rhodes. Now, Cody Rhodes is going to win this feud, no doubt. But I think this is going to kind of set things up, is how is Cody's character going to be presented? I'm a little nervous that they're going to hit the same beats and Cody is going to be the same guy, just having the same spiel, always overcoming the odds. And I think Cody maybe needs to take a back seat a little bit. Maybe let AJ Styles shine in this feud. Maybe let AJ Styles do something that's less formulaic and more story-driven, more creative. And again, this is where I'm putting trust in the process, because you have two great workers, two great guys that can tell a story, and they have a wrestling pedigree. I think that's very important. AJ Styles, I think, is going to give Cody Rhodes a great match. So I think in terms of in-ring storytelling, you're going to get something great. It's the other story beats that I want to see. It's the other story beats that I feel like are important. And I'm a little nervous for Cody, because this is his first feud after finishing the story. Very, very important. And it really is going to set the tone for his championship reign. It's going to set the tone for how the fans react. And that's something I want to kind of get into that I wasn't planning on. As I was perusing on social media, I noticed that a lot of people were trying to already fantasy book this feud with AJ Styles. And there is a pretty decent chatter out there about how the fans are already turning on Cody Rhodes. And I kind of wondered about that, like which fans are turning on Cody Rhodes? And I realized that I don't believe that it's actual fans. I think it's internet fans, social media fans who are incapable of just enjoying a story as it's going on. Finishing the story was crammed down our throats for 2 years, no doubt. And while I can understand people maybe being a little bit tired of Cody Rhodes now that he has reached the mountaintop, because when you get a title, you're less interesting than when you're chasing the title. It's just a fact. And so people may be turning on him to an extent, but I think if you look at numbers of people that are going to these events, I think if you look at the interactions that he's having at these live events, they're selling out left and right. They're not having a premier live event or a PLE in the United States until SummerSlam. It's April. That's in August. We're talking about four events that are going to be outside of the United States, and they're selling like crazy. I think that's a sign of health. I think that's a sign of health, not just for Cody Rhodes, but for the company. And so I think that Cody as their champion is going to draw. I think people are drawn to that. And if you think that the fans are turning on him, I'm kind of curious as to where you think that. Yes, he's not an indie darling anymore. Yes, he has reached the mountaintop of corporate wrestling. I mean, WWE is corporate now. And I can understand people feeling like, okay, that's not as interesting. But I think you have to look at it in a different way. I think you have to look at it as it's another story. This is the building to another story. Cody getting to the mountaintop and finally reaching the pinnacle is one story. Now it's the next story. What is his story as a champion? So if you have already turned on him, I think that's kind of weak, honestly. And I think you need to rethink your wrestling fandom, because that's not how this should work, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens with that on, I think it's May 4th in France, which I think it's the first ever WWE event in France. So they're doing a lot of really cool stuff. That's all I can say. Speaking of cool stuff, tag team title. So at WrestleMania, they decided that they were going to split between brands, and obviously Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. That was a name that I could not think of, was Grayson Waller last time, win the SmackDown titles, and Awesome Truth, R-Truth and Miz win the Raw titles. And I never really liked those belts to begin with. Never liked the old design with what looked like sort of a Spartan on it. And a redesign was coming up. And I think this is appropriate because, again, this is a new era now. This is the Triple H era. And this era should look like Triple H. it should look like it has his fingerprints on it. I think, again, they need to overtly get away from the old regime or the old guard. And so on Monday night, or previous Monday night, they unveiled the new tag team championships on Raw. And the belts were okay. I don't like the perfect circle belt. The only belt that actually looked good enough like that was the old Winged Eagle belt. Even the big Winged Eagle belt was okay. But I didn't really like these or love these as much as I thought, because I'm a purist. I love the 80s tag team championship belts. I think they're classics. I think they should have never gone away from them, because I think they work in any era. And then fast forward to SmackDown when they unveil those new titles. Now those new titles have more of a rectangular look to them, and they look more like those vintage 80s look. That's all me. That's my jam right there. And so I think that both tag team titles look fine. I just think that the SmackDown titles look better. And of course, for both brands, they had a multi-tag team match to figure out who was going to face both of these teams, and both teams are going to defend their titles. Now, Awesome Truth already did against DIY. They're obviously planting the seeds for a breakup there, because I think that both of those guys really need to be on their own. I think that in today's era, both of those guys can succeed and connect with the crowd, because the guy behind the creative knows how to use them. Vince didn't know how to use a lot of these guys. And I feel like if you went back over the last, 10 years since they've had just NXT talent come up and be wasted, you wonder to yourself, what would it be like if Triple H had been doing creative there also? And I know he was doing it in NXT, which is why they were killing it. Imagine if he was doing it at the top level. I just think it would have been incredible. And I think a lot of people would not have been wasted. And we would have had so many good characters. So many good stories. But you know what? That's in the past. We're moving on. And this is the opportunity now that we're going to get for new characters. And I think Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa are going to benefit from this. Another couple that I think is going to benefit from this is finally Imperium kicked Giovanni Vinci out. Ludwig Kaiser, after seeing Gunther get mad, he turns on his longtime partner. Now, these guys had been losing left and right. They were really just Keystone Cop-ish. And I think this is actually really fun. I think they're going to keep Vinci off TV for a while. This is the next step, obviously, for Gunther. I think Ludwig Kaiser is going to get a singles run here, because Gunther is on to the next big thing. And we saw him on TV for the first time in a while since he lost at WrestleMania. And again, cutting a great promo. I love his character. I love how old school he is in just every facet of the game. And he's basically announcing, I'm going to be in the King of the Ring. And I think that's a great next progression, because that would actually be awesome. If Triple H is going to bring that back and make that a stepping stone to bigger things, that's awesome. Because back in the day, in the 90s, when the King of the Ring debuted as a pay-per-view, I think that that was a stepping stone for a lot of guys to either get into the upper card or finally get to the mountaintop of getting the title. And I think that that would be awesome for Gunther. Now, the last King of the Ring was Xavier Woods from The New Day. And The New Day came out, obviously, to confront Gunther and all that. The New Day find themselves in a predicament, because I don't think they fit in particularly well with what's going on in WWE right now. But Xavier Woods needs to defend his honor. And it will be nice to see Gunther hopefully get that title. Or get that crown, literally. And Gunther is on to bigger and better things. We're definitely going to see Gunther face Cody Rhodes at some point, I believe. And I think that's a very smart move. But maybe not, because the draft is coming up. And that's where a lot of these things, I think, are happening. Before we get to the draft, though, let's talk about the SmackDown Women's title. Bayley defending it against Naomi. And that was fine. Face versus face, I think, giving Naomi a chance. We know her. She's established. But it was really an excuse to get Tiffany Stratton in here. And that's going to bring some intrigue. Bayley, obviously, another face title run here. And Tiffany Stratton, I believe, is a good heel for this. Now, Bayley's a little bit different, because I think she is a face right now, but she's also kind of an in-betweener to an extent. She's the role model. And they used to say that ironically. Tiffy, though, I think is one of those heels who thinks she's great and she's self-righteous. And that should be interesting, because she did really well in the Elimination Chamber, got a really good response. And so this is an opportunity for her to get that shine and to get a title match, see how she does with a professional in there, see how the crowd reacts to her. And so from that perspective, I like it. But let's talk about the draft for a minute. So the draft is coming up, and all three brands are going to be in play. And this provides an opportunity to switch some people that maybe are on their new singles run or group breakups or whatever. And that's one of the things that has been sort of flat in drafts of previous years. I feel like the drafts have always predicted chaos, but then never really come to fruition. And they move some people to get fresh starts, and that's cool. But now I think, again, with this new creative team, I do believe that these people are going to get fresh starts. And I'm really, really excited about
people
that could switch brands. I think Gunther is one of those people, because I think if you need him to face Cody at some point, got to be on SmackDown. The Bloodline could be interesting. Is the Bloodline going to come to Raw finally? That would be fantastic. Get to see them against some new people. Get to see them against the Judgment Day. Get to see Solo Sikoa maybe get some title shots, something like that, Intercontinental Championship. There's a lot of potential. And so the draft is coming up, and you have to think about what's happening on these shows with some of those things in mind, because I think you're going to have some blow-offs of these feuds, like Sami Zayn, Chad Gable. There might be some blow-off there, and then they're going to move on to different things as these new characters and these new layers of their story. And that's, I think, one of the best parts about where we are now. The draft is coming at a good time. We're cleaning the slate from WrestleMania, which was historic in so many ways. We have new challengers for new champions. We have intrigue. We have possible breakups of these groups. I think all of that is terrific. And it was a great 2 weeks of wrestling. Now, I'm not going to get to everything because, quite frankly, there's just a lot of little things. And you just can't get to everything because the minutiae sometimes can drag you down. One of the things you should know about me when I podcast is I like to keep things as brief as possible. I want to get to the point. I want to give you my opinion, and I want to get you on with your day because I know that you don't have a lot of time to spend listening to podcasts. You probably already listened to a ton of them already, and so I'm not going to sit here and take 2-3 hours out of your life to talk about the littlest things. But before we get to closing this episode, I do want to talk about the tribalism thing for a minute because I think that it's important that people think about this in a different way, in a more healthy way. AEW and WWE are both in the business of professional wrestling, but in my opinion, they are both trying to achieve different things.
WWE is established.
WWE, long established, well over 40 years. They're a titan in the industry. There's no way that any other company is going to come in, swoop in, and take over. AEW has a different mentality, a different product. They are catering to a different kind of audience. And you can actually like both. You can appreciate both. The indie wrestling scene, the indie wrestling style is different than what WWE does. But honestly, I feel like you can like both. You can appreciate both. You can appreciate what these companies are trying to do. The more established storytelling, the more established brands, the more established names, people that are trying to make a name for themselves in AEW. And all over social media, it's just constantly trying to put people down, trying to say you have to be one or the other. And it makes me sad because professional wrestling at its core is so fun, and it doesn't matter what you like. It doesn't matter how you like it or how you watch it. Just love it. Love it for what it is. Don't care about the pocketbooks of anybody else. Don't care about whether Tony Khan knows how to put on a good story. Don't care about any of these things that you hear swirling about ratings, people going to these events, all that kind of stuff. There's different ways to measure health. There's different ways to measure success. And you know what? Just enjoy what you enjoy. Watch what you watch and enjoy it. That's the whole point of this podcast. We're going to talk about wrestling. We're going to enjoy it. And that's the thing. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from everybody out there who loves wrestling. So if you want to get in touch with the show, email MattyIceMedia@gmail.com. That is the email address for the Matty Ice Media Network, which is my podcasting business. We have other podcasts a part of it, Iceman and Coach, Fire Footwear, Political Football. We're hoping to add some more. So if you're listening to this and you're a podcaster, we are looking for other independent creators to come be a part of our network, to collaborate with, to learn, to grow with. And the Matty Ice Media Network, MattyIceMedia.com, is where you can find information on all of that. If you want to find me on Twitter and hit me up, @MattyIceFreights is the handle of my personal Twitter account. I'd love to talk with you about wrestling, chop it up. I'm a big sneaker guy, so you can talk with me about just about anything. Again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. I appreciate you taking out the time. I hope this finds you well. I hope this finds you safe, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks. This is Freebird Rules. Yeah.
Let's go. We just gotta go hard. I go the hardest. Adrenaline pumping through my veins, can't relax. Original, I am not the same as these cats. I sting them if they never ever mind.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Free Bird Rules are those of Matt Freights and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Free Bird Rules is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.